This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Father God, we thank you for this beautiful day you have made. We thank you that we are here for you. We are here for your church, for your kingdom, Father. We come to you today and we give you honor and glory and praise. You deserve that. We ask you to reveal yourself to us today. We ask you to encourage us as a church. We ask you to be in our midst as you already are. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen. Thank you.
So the song Faithful, I think something I think about a lot is when we go through seasons in life where it's difficult for us to see the goodness of God and for us to see the faithfulness of God. I've certainly been through seasons like that in my life. My wife and I struggled for a long time to fall pregnant. Been through plenty of seasons like that, and I think what encourages me through those seasons is just reminding myself of who God is. And that's really where this song came from for me. The verses kind of speak from a place, the scripture in Habakkuk 3, where, you know, even though we don't see the tree bearing any fruit, anxiety is just overwhelming me, that I struggle with patience sometimes. So that's really what I kind of wrote into the verses. And a scripture that's really stuck with me through those times is one in Hebrews 10 verse 23 that says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." And that's really what led to the chorus. And the chorus I actually wrote probably about 10 years ago and just never really got into a song. But I think through, you know, what the world went through in 2020, I think I certainly found myself in that place often last year of just having to remind myself of the faithfulness of God. And I love, you know, the outdoors, and that's really the lyrics and the chorus speak to things that I see outside that for me are unmovable. So that's, I guess, what the lyrics in the chorus are speaking to. You know, more than the rising sun, more than the mountains that tower above, you are faithful. And just reminding myself again to lift my eyes up to God. And I think the bridge really is just more of that. You know, it's just reminding me of the absolute otherness of God. You know, attributes there are, you know, who else commands the wind and rain? Who else could call each star by name? Isaiah 40 says that God does that. Who else could overcome the grave? And, you know, maybe you find yourself in a season like that, and I think the most important thing for me is to remind ourselves of who God is. That's what's encouraged me a lot in those seasons, to lift our eyes, as the psalmist says, to the hills, to know that that is where our help comes from, and know that even though we don't feel like it sometimes, even though we don't see it happening around us, that the Word of God says that He is faithful, and that if we hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, that He will come through for us. So I pray that you'd be encouraged by the song, and that you'd sing it with us. Thank you.
thank you, Lord, that we get to do this, that we get to gather together in your name to worship you and give glory to your name, Father. And we thank you for all the songs that we've sung today of how great you are and how we look forward to worshiping you in heaven. And Lord, we pray as you listen to your word now, may you be in our midst, may you speak to us, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Before I start,
to the street, to me, to God. Okay, I'll quickly pray. Father God, thank you for this beautiful picture. Thank you, Lord, that you invite us, and that you don't invite us for a war, or you invite us for difficult things. You just invite us for peace and rest and fruit, and we can rely on you because you are faithful. You do not change. You are the same, and you keep on loving us. And we thank you for that, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ.
So much. Thank you so much as well for the band. I can see the kids are going out as well. Great. It's an honor to stand before you once more. For those, I think there's some new faces here. For those who don't know me, I'm Geoffrey Mushibi. And before I start, I just want us to take a minute or so to just answer the question that's in front of you. That is, what are you looking forward to? Don't need to make it spiritual or anything. Just think to yourself, like, what's one thing that you're looking forward to? Because I believe there's so many things in our lives that we're constantly looking forward to. For some, it's just looking forward to get to bed and watch Netflix. For some, it's looking forward to graduation. For some, it's looking forward to have a baby. Some, it's so many different things, going on holiday and so on. And I guess also in the Christian life, there is some things that we look forward to. And I think one of the most important things that as a Christian or Christians in general that we look forward to is heaven, or at least it should be heaven, because that's what we've been promised, that God, Jesus has gone before us to prepare a place for us that we'll be with him in heaven. We read in John chapter 4, verse 1 to 3, it says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." So that's a promise that God has made, that he's going to take us. And I think that should be exciting. It should make us excited to start looking forward to heaven, to kind of prepare ourselves, you know, to go to heaven. But unfortunately, I think most of the times we don't look at heaven as such a place. We don't really have that inner craving in ourselves, like, I really want to go to heaven. And I think what causes that sometimes is the picture that we have of heaven. Because sometimes when we think of heaven, we just think of us sitting on clouds and floating away and playing the harp and eating strawberries and bananas. I think bananas will be there. And if you think of that, you're like, probably heaven is going to be boring, because you just cannot imagine spending 24 hours floating on a cloud. Even if it sounds amazing, after you do that for a week, you'll be like, I really want to do something else, because that's too much. And if we get the picture of what heaven is going to be, if we get it right, I think it gives us a burning in our hearts to be like, this is really the place that I want to go to. And it starts from knowing what are some of the things that we're going to do to heaven, in heaven. And there's so many things. And for today, I'll just look at five things. And for some of these, we'll delve into them much deeper. For others, to just be like mentioning them. And it's just five of them, but there are many more things that we'll do in heaven. And my hope for today is when we leave, we walk out the door and be like, man, I just want to get to heaven, because that's a place to be in. So the first thing if you get over the fact of you playing harps and floating on clouds, I think the next thing that you come to, if you think of heaven, will be like worshiping. That's one of the things that really almost any one of us would say we're going to do to heaven. So indeed, I also wrote it as the first thing to say, in heaven, we are going to worship. In Revelation chapter 7, verse 9 to 12, it says, after this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Amen. So that's what we're going to be doing in heaven. We are going to be worshiping with angels, with the living creatures in heaven, and all of them. It's going to be a bit different from the way we do worship here, because when we do worship here, as Marco said, it's important that we gather as a community. You can do worship in your room, but there's something special about coming together. And so on a Sunday like this, we walk into this building and we start worshiping God, be it through songs, the reading of scripture, through the preaching of scripture as well. But in heaven, we won't have a church to go to, because God's presence will be around us everywhere. And so we won't be looking forward to a Sunday to go to a certain church and sit with other people to worship. Wherever we're going to be, that's where God is, that's where church will be, and we'll be worshiping there. And also, it won't just be a Sunday thing. So it's not that you have to tick it or mark it on your calendar, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them. So I think almost all of us who are in here, we look like people who are a bit older, so I think we've done some kind of job, or at least we do some work. And when we get to heaven, we're going to rest from our earthly labors, which sometimes may be tiring. And if you read this verse, the word labor that is used, it refers to like the pain of doing work. Because work in itself is not really a bad thing, but earthly work that we do is quite hard. It's quite disappointing because of the people sometimes that we work with, ourselves, and you sweat, and it's just so hard sometimes to work, you know, to just get everything in place. And when we get to heaven, we won't have to work as such, in such a sense, because the pain of doing work will not be there. We're going to rest. I'll move on quickly to the third one, and that is eat and celebrate. I think this is probably one of my favorite. I love eating and celebrating. So in heaven as well, we're going to eat and celebrate. Luke chapter 22, verse 30 says, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And another verse in Matthew 8, verse 11. Sorry, Melissa, it's, I think, two verses down. Matthew 8, verse 11 says, I tell you, many will come from east and west and recline at my table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. So it's like we'll gather with people from the east and the west, and we'll sit with Jesus on the table and celebrate and eat very good food. One of the things I've loved about being part of Shofar, and one of the things that has been quite the hardest part as well at the same time, it's being a member and the leader of a students' small group. Because what happens is students come in and we get together, we have small group, we do so many things together, and we also eat quite a lot of food, especially when Corona could allow us. But what happens is after some time, those students, probably they were here on exchange, they leave. And really that's quite hard for me. I don't like when people leave. So they go off to other countries and they do amazing stuff. Of course, on one hand, you know, it's good for them to leave. God is calling them for another thing where they're heading to. But for us who are remaining here, it's like, man, that person is really living. You know, you've done so much together, you've gone through so much, and for some of these people, you see them coming in and trying to find their identity, they're trying to just know who they are, and you kind of help them on this journey, and they get to that place where, like, okay, this person now is ready to serve. And then you just hear, like, my flight is in 2 weeks and I'm heading off. And my heart does get heartbroken sometimes. I'm like, okay, God, please, I bless them as I go, but it's really painful. One thing I know is I've got friends all over the country, all over the world, but it's hard to recreate some of the times that we had together because they're all spread around. And even if we were to come, it's very hard to have that unique bond that we had with each small group. But I look forward to heaven because all those people who come from different places, and I'm going to meet them again. We're going to eat, we're going to celebrate. Hopefully there won't be any spicy food, but maybe I could handle it. But the thing is, I look forward to all of them, having them together and celebrating together as we worship God and lift his name high. But it's not only the people that I've met in my small group, it's people from everywhere. The verse that we read in Matthew chapter 8, verse 11, it says, I tell you, many will come from the east and west and recline at my table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I think here it's representing like kind of the forefathers, the main representatives from history. Like if you read the Old Testament, these three guys kind of stand for all that generation of people. So we're going to be at the table, you know, with Noah and I think even Adam and every one of those great heroes of faith that we read about. And just imagine the stories we'll be able to listen and just how it was, you know. I want to ask Noah, like, hey, so how was the flood, like being in the ark and everything? And, you know, just to interact with those people and just see how God worked in their lives during their time and compare it with ours. And we're going to do that, and there's no other better place to do it than when you're eating at the table and having those conversations. So just from these three, you know, you're going to worship God, you're going to rest, you're going to eat and celebrate. I think this is quite good reasons for you to start already looking forward to heaven, because there's going to be so much things to look forward to. The fourth thing that we're going to do in heaven is to work. I think at this point we're supposed to be like, oh, because we've just talked about celebrating and eating and resting, and then we bring in the issue of work. But as I said, work is not bad in itself. When God created heaven and earth and put Adam, we read in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work and keep it. This is Genesis chapter 2. If you read history, you find the fall happens in Genesis chapter 3. That's when the curse is given. That's when work is made to be hard and tough and everything that the bad connotations that come with work. That happens in Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 2, when man is in his pristine condition, everything is perfect as it could be, God still tells him to work. And work was different then, because all this sin and all this hardship that is entangled with work as we know it now wasn't there. And there'll be a restoration when Jesus comes, when we go into the new heaven and earth. There'll be that restoration when the work won't be as hard anymore and be able to actually serve God. Rode on my bike, went home, but I think I was quite tired that I just went straight to my room and didn't wash the plates. Then on the Sunday, the following day, I woke up with these dirty dishes and took them to the sink, and I looked at the dishwasher. It's like, should I put them in or should I just wash it? Actually, that wasn't a very hard decision to make, so I just started washing the dishes. And man, I love doing dishes. Like, that 2 minutes I spent, or 5 minutes or so, just washing dishes was so good. I'm not exaggerating this. I do love doing dishes. And it is work. Doing dishes is work. Some people don't even like it. And also you in your life, there's something you probably have. It could be photography. It could be gardening. It could be, I don't know, you can name it. And when you do it, it really doesn't feel like work. you feel like you're actually enjoying yourself. It's kind of therapeutic. It's helping you to just make you at ease. But it is work. If you did it for someone else, they would actually pay you for it. And that's just a glimpse of what we get in heaven. We'll be doing stuff in heaven, which is work. But when you do it, when I do dishes for myself, I don't actually use the dishwasher. I've lived in the current house I'm in for over a year. I've probably used the dishwasher for like 2 times. I don't understand why people made that. But I do love doing dishes. I do enjoy it. And I think in heaven, that's what we're going to have as well. You do work, but it doesn't really feel like work, and you feel like you can just go on and on doing this work. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 3, Melissa again, sorry, I think I'm jumping on the verses quite a few here. Revelation chapter 22, verse 3, it says, "And there shall be no more curse." This curse is the one from Genesis chapter 3, the curse that was made on work. "There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him." As his servant will be the ones serving the throne, will be actually working. And so if you combine this now, you'll be working, doing the thing that you love the most. I don't know what it is. And you take away the pain of doing that thing and just bring in all the goodness, all the enjoyment you get when you do that. You'll be eating and celebrating. You'll be worshiping God and you'll be resting. That's kind of also start to change the picture of just being on a cloud and floating away. We'll be doing some amazing things in heaven. The last thing that we'll do in heaven, not really the last as the totality, but that I want to share for us today, is that we're going to commune with God and with the saints. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17, it says, "Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord." So it's talking about people who have already left us, people who have already died, but to come again together and be with the Lord. I've really been privileged in my life to have had people really kind of help me when I was both young, like biologically I was around 10, 14, those periods. Also just in my Christian life where people would take me under their care and, you know, just give advice and so on. And one of the people that I had was a lady called Aunt Shelley, and she was married to the guy who was also helping me a lot. He actually took me the course through before I did my baptism and explained all those things, what I was getting myself into and what it meant. But Aunt Shelley also loved us. She talked more and just have wonderful discussions. But she had cancer, and they tried really hard. They took her to South Africa and other countries to try to treat the cancer, but it was still there. And in 2011, going into 2012, the situation really seemed to be kind of getting worse, and we kind of knew probably the time is going to come. So she finally got admitted into hospital and in our town. So we could go there from time to time to see her. But I remember on one occasion, me and my uncle and my aunt, we went to visit her. And this day, the ward was a bit packed. She was in a private ward, but it was a bit packed. So I managed to sneak in and looked at her. Her breathing had changed. She was breathing quite heavily. And I looked at her daughter, her youngest daughter, and you could tell she's been crying for quite some time because it was getting clear the time is really drawing near. Then we prayed for her and went back home. And about 1 or 2 hours later, we got a phone call that she had died. I cannot tell you how much I look forward to seeing her. She wasn't my father, she wasn't my mother or my aunt or anything. She was just someone I know. Someone I knew who had a huge impact on my life. But I cannot tell you how much I long to see her again, to eat with her and to celebrate and just have nice food with her. And for most of us, we have one person who's gone before us, they've died and they've died in Christ. But we cannot just wait for that moment when we can see them face to face and embrace them and talk to them again. And we're going to do that in heaven. We're going to be reunited with those who've died in Christ and who've gone before us. And we're going to celebrate. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 1 to 4, it says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Then I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away.'" We're going to get to a place where death will be no more, where we won't have to cry for people because they won't be dying, they won't be leaving us. And for those who've gone before us, we're going to be reunited with them. I look forward to that, because if Jesus doesn't come very soon, you're also going to get a phone call one day. They'll be like, "You know that Geoffrey, the Shofar short guy?" And they'll tell you a lie. They'll be like, "He's no more. He's died." But I ask you that you do not believe that lie. Because when I do die, I might die, but I will be some more. Because I'm going to a place where I'll be reunited with those who've gone before us, and where I'll have more life than I do now. And so when you do get that phone call, if I go before you guys, please, of course you can mourn, you can cry, because there is that physical separation that we have, but we should cry as people with hope, because we know we're going to a place where we'll be reunited with God himself, and to a place where we're also going to be reunited with people who've gone before us in history. These are just five things that I shared with you, of things that are going to either happen or that we're going to do in heaven. There's really much more. But these things have implications. Looking forward to heaven has implications for our lives, our work, our view of fellowship and worship. If we're going to worship God in heaven 24/7, what do you think of worship right now? Is it something that you have to be forced to do? When it's Sunday and you have to come to church, do you come to church because, I don't know, you just want to tick it off the box, or because you really enjoy being in fellowship with God and being in fellowship with other believers? Because somehow it might not make sense that you are looking forward to spend eternity worshiping God when even once a week you cannot spend a few hours worshiping God. Those things just don't seem to kind of make sense. So even if we're going to do all those amazing things in heaven, it does have an implication of how we live our lives now. It's not just worship. Take anything that we've mentioned today. We're going to work in heaven. What's your view of work right now? I know work is hard. I also do work, and it's really hard. But what's your take on work in the moment? And specifically when it comes to serving God, right now, if we were to ask you, what are you doing to serve in God's kingdom? Not just for the church, but it could be for the church. In the church where you come in every Sunday or however often you come, what do you do in church to just help out, to serve God in anything that is gifted you in? Because we're going to have eternity serving God, but what about now? How much do you do to serve God? It doesn't need to be in the church. It can be in your secret places. How often do you even kneel down to pray for God's church, the global church everywhere? Because it does not make sense for us to be like, hey, we're looking forward to heaven, we're looking forward to be serving God for eternity, and yet today, when we say, hey guys, let's do this thing for God, and you're like, I'm too busy, or I don't know what excuse we could go on to give. And of course, you can, as I said, you can take all of these things we've talked about, have, or why should you even look forward to enjoying it in heaven for eternity? So what we do now, as we look forward to what's going to come in heaven, as we look forward to that, it has implications on how we live our lives now. And for some of these things, especially the one talking about us being reunited with people who've died and people who've gone before us, and also us looking forward to a place where we won't have any sin, where we won't have any pain and suffering, causes some people to now start asking the question or to start wondering, are we as Christians just saying these things to make ourselves feel better? Are we just trying to escape reality so that we kind of add meaning to our current lives of suffering and pain to just say, well, we have heaven that we can look forward to? But we can be confident of heaven for various reasons. Heaven is not just a utopian place that Christians have created to make ourselves feel better in the current place, in this earth that we're in right now. And I just gave three reasons here of how or why we should be confident of heaven. And the first one is, we're confident of heaven, that we're going to heaven because Jesus was resurrected. I think you would read that the resurrection of Jesus is probably one of the historical events that you cannot, disclaim or disqualify. It actually happened. You do not just need to ask Christians. You can ask just historians who've studied history, who've taken time to look at these events, and you have sources even outside the Bible that can attest to the fact that Jesus Christ was resurrected. And because of that, we have confidence that even as when we die and when we are buried, our bodies as well will be resurrected. Because that is what Christianity is actually built on. It is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we would have no Christianity and would have no hope or any hope of heaven whatsoever. But we know that all these things I've mentioned, the rest that we're going to get, that we're going to worship God, that we're going to be reunited with believers, and the other things I've shared as well, we can be confident of that because Jesus was resurrected. The second one is God keeps his promises. I think we've sang and talked about this quite a lot today already, of how faithful God is. And if you read in his word, you find many verses of how he promises a new heaven and a new earth for us. If you go to Revelation and see various places, you find this is a promise that God has made. Just the one we read in Revelation chapter 21, verse 1 to 4, this is the promises of God that is made. In verse 3, of Revelation chapter 21, verse 3, it says, "Then I heard a loud voice from the front saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them.'" These are some of the promises we're getting. God will dwell with us. And they will be his people. And God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Those are promises we're getting, that our tears will be wiped off from our eyes. And death shall be no more. Neither there shall be mourning, nor crying, nor pain, anymore, for the former things have passed away. We have so many promises in the Bible of a new heaven and how it's going to be. And we know our God is a faithful God, so we can be assured that we're going to heaven. And lastly, because the Bible does say so, the verses I've shared and the 100 others, you find of how heaven is described as a place that we're going to. And we can be confident to know that we're going to, that we have a heaven to look forward to and that we can go there. The confidence that we have is just not a faith that we wish something would happen. It's a surety that stuff is going to happen. We're just waiting for the right time to come. We have that surety because Jesus was resurrected, because God has promised us, and because the Bible says so. I like this quote from C.S. Lewis says, "Then the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. And I believe that world that we were made for is heaven. where all these things that we long for, that this world cannot provide and cannot satisfy us with, are there. So I just want us to reflect on this question again. What are you looking forward to when you think about heaven? Maybe one of these things that I've already shared, but for most times, one of them might stick more for you than others. Or you might stick more, just want to be reunited with people who've gone before you. For others, you just like to party, so you're looking for the big party in heaven, and that's okay. For others, it might be work. You want to do something where you feel your services are appreciated and it adds value to your life. And for others, you might just want rest. You've done so much and you feel like you could take some rest. And I just want us to remember that and have that surety that God has indeed promised us a place where that will become a reality. But as we wait, let us hold that picture that we want of heaven and think of how it applies to our lives right now. What do we need to do for us to be prepared? Because as I look around the room, I think most of us have either traveled a lot or are not born in the country, in the Netherlands. And one thing I know is if you're preparing to go to a place, when I was preparing to come here, you do so much to know where you're going. You look up on YouTube, there are videos of how Dutch people cycle and what you're supposed to do, what they eat, what the weather is, what you should bring and what you shouldn't. Why do we do that? So that when you reach the destination we are going to, you're prepared for whatever it might be. But sometimes it might not be fully prepared. You cannot be fully prepared. But the principle is the same, that as we look forward to heaven, there's some things that we can do now. There's some things, our attitude of worship, our attitude of fellowshipping with other believers, our attitude of work can be transformed as we look forward to that new heaven. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we give you glory and honor, for you are such a good God and you're a wonderful God to us. And we thank you, Lord, for the gift of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for us, that we might be redeemed from our sins and be reunited with you. And we thank you, Lord, that through that redemption, Lord, we are promised over heaven, and you've given us surety that we're going to be reunited with you, that we're going to spend eternity in your presence, where sin, pain, and suffering will be no more. So, Lord, as we look forward to that place, we pray, Lord, that may you prepare our hearts even today in this earth that we're currently in, that we might not lose focus of what's to come, but also that as we live today, Lord, our hearts might be transformed in light of what is to come, that our view of worship might be governed by you, Lord, that we enjoy to be found in your presence and to worship with your people and to worship your name, Lord. That as we eat and celebrate, we realize, Lord, there's a big supper coming for us when we'll be reunited with our friends who've gone through different parts of the country and of the world and who might have gone before us, but we'll be reunited with them and we'll have a big party and celebrate with them and eat. As we look forward to resting in heaven, Lord, we also pray that may you give us the perseverance to persevere through this journey of earth that we have, knowing that there's a big rest coming for us in eternity. As we work, dear Lord, give us a right mindset towards work. You ordained work, Lord, and it's a wonderful thing that you've given us. So we pray, Lord, as we serve in this earth, that our attitude might be right, Lord, towards work, and that we realize that we're working for you ultimately. And as we look forward, Lord, to be reunited with those who've gone before us, we pray, Lord, that may we also be in the right, that when that time comes, we might be found in you, and that we might look forward to that day that we'll be able to embrace those who've gone before us. Thank you for your goodness, and thank you that this is not some sort of utopia that we can just create for ourselves to make ourselves feel better. But you've told us in your word that this is what you have for us. It's a promise that you've made to us, Lord. And we know that you are a faithful God and you do these things for us. So thank you for that surety that we have in you, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.